Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. And today we're going to be talking about the social media companies. All three of the biggest ones that are publicly traded just reported their earnings over the last week and a half or so. So this is part of a growing thing we're doing on the show to kind of expand the program into just more consumer-facing stocks in general. And so what better way to talk about consumer-facing stocks than with three of the biggest social media companies that hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people use all around the world. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, three of the most prominent ones that are all publicly traded in the U.S. But before we do that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcasts@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. So I mentioned already that we're going to be talking about the big social media companies, Facebook, Snap, and Twitter. But before we do that, I want to quickly have a note at the top of the show, just because this is some news that came out Sunday. It's a topic we've talked about a lot in the show before that has to do directly with esports, because some people playing Fortnite all of a sudden became instant overnight millionaires. And actually, my producer, Danny, has... We were just talking about it before the show, and it's insane. Knew a lot more of it than me. So I'm going to let him just jump in real fast with these Fortnite millionaire kid updates.
Just tidbits. Yeah, it's insane. As many people know, Fortnite is a very popular game among millions and millions of people. Had a World Cup event over the week. Now, for this event, they had two kind of big, you could call them tournaments. They had a duos tournament where two people get together and they go and drop in this map and they fight a bunch of other teams of duos. Whoever comes out on top wins. They did like six different games. They did this for solos as well. And as he said, I mean, multimillionaires. This kid named Booga, I think is how you pronounce it, won $3 million, which is, I don't know, it's insane.
He's
to me.
16, right?
16 years old. Yeah, 16 years old. I think, to be honest, what I read in the article, I think the majority of people were like 16. So to think all these kids are becoming very rich overnight, because it wasn't just him. There was the top, I think, four or five won over $1 million. And that was for the duos tournament as well. So you're talking about 10 plus kids becoming millionaires overnight for playing a video game.
Yeah, so. And that's just for reference, because Danny's also a big golf fan. That's more money than the guys who are winning golf tournaments, like big major golf tournaments.
Yeah,
take home.
Brooks Koepka just won what, $1.2 million? Yeah, over the weekend. So
for reference, a 16-year-old playing Fortnite won $3 million in a legit, not to say esports isn't a legitimate sport, but it puts people's minds, and it gives you perspective of how quickly this esports thing is growing and how much money is behind it, that they're giving out multiple $1 million plus paydays for video games, when golf, which has been around forever, if you're not finishing in the top three, you're definitely never taking home $1 million in a weekend. No way. So no.
And just last little note, you know, esports has been around for a very, very long time. It's just now starting to see that type of prize pools and money. I don't think this is going to become a normal thing where, you know, companies are putting $30 million on the line. I think it's like a history event. It's going to be one of those things that sets the tone for kind of esports organizations going forward. So it's an exciting time. And, you know, I wish I was 16 right now playing video games. So, but yeah, that's about it. But yeah, just fun stuff to listen to and see. So good for him. Congratulations to that kid.
So. Yeah, for sure. So transitioning quickly from our little esports update to what we're going to do on the rest of the show today, we're going to talk about, as I said, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter. So Facebook shares touched a new 52-week intraday trading high last Thursday, and then they've pulled back a little bit since then after the stock's been up over 50% in 2019. So it kind of only makes sense that there's going to be a little bit of a pullback no matter what the results were. But the company posted adjusted quarterly earnings of $1.99 per share, which topped our Zacks consensus estimate. And then meanwhile, its revenues climbed 28% to just under $17 billion, and it easily surpassed our estimate as well. This top line expansion also came in higher than Q1. But just to give people a frame of reference, it does mark a significant slowdown to the 30 and 40% top line growth that people have come to expect from Facebook over the last several years. And it kind of does spark what's probably going to be the new normal for the company, or at least for this foreseeable future, of this around 25% top line growth. So that's just giving people a sense of where the company is on the revenue side. And then on top of that, Wall Street and all the investors were likely really happy to see that its user growth continues to climb, because obviously most people know at this point, even if you're not paying attention very closely, that you've heard Facebook has been in a lot of trouble recently over the last year with all this user scandal and data privacy worries. It doesn't seem like people really care in the real world, because once again, its monthly and daily active user totals climbed 8% year over year. This matched Q1's growth of 8% for both of those metrics. Facebook now estimates that 2.7 billion people use at least one of its family of services, which is Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger every month. So 2.7 billion people is an eye-popping number. More importantly, maybe, though, for the company, which generates over 50% or roughly 50% of its revenue from the U.S. and Canada, that group saw a 2 million user bump year over year, and then a little bit of a sequential jump as well, which, as I said, is huge. That speaks to a little bit of the growth of Instagram over the last several years. But U.S. and Canada, they need that growth to maintain, because they only account for 12% of total users globally for Facebook, but it accounts, as I said, for about 50% of revenue every quarter. So the U.S. and Canada is that key market, and it was obviously a big deal to see for Wall Street that they're able to grow despite all of these worries and these headlines every day that Facebook is doing X and blah, 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 blah. But at the moment, it doesn't seem to have affected the average person who is interacting with one of Facebook's various platforms on a daily or monthly basis. And then on top of that, there are obviously some regulatory worries. Facebook and the FTC announced last week that the company would pay a record $5 billion fine related to a long-running investigation that kind of began with the Cambridge Analytica scandal. As part of that deal, Zuckerberg is also going to maybe face more potential liability with privacy worries going forward. He's going to have to sign off on more privacy stuff. And then they also made some changes to the board of directors to help bolster that privacy. So you're going to hear a lot of that privacy word. That's the buzzword of what's going on with Facebook. And then on top of that, the FTC disclosed that it opened another antitrust investigation, or a separate antitrust investigation, into Facebook in June. And then Facebook also said, which other companies are going to be involved in this as well, but in their note, the generic overview they gave was that the U.S. Department of Justice in July will begin an antitrust investigation or review of what they say are market-leading online platforms, which obviously includes Facebook. When they have 2.7 billion people using their platform, they, Amazon, Google are all going to be part of this bigger, broader Department of Justice antitrust investigation. So obviously this is going to be kind of hanging around in the background. But Mark Zuckerberg, who's the CEO, and the company at Facebook are very willing to be regulated. They're encouraging this regulation. They see it as the way that they're going to be able to survive long term, and they have the money and the means to take on this regulation, whatever it comes. And obviously, that $5 billion fine sounds like a big deal, but the company was all too happy to have that now, that one chapter behind them. They'll pay that $5 billion and they'll just keep moving forward. So, as I mentioned, Zuckerberg is all for this regulation, but now I want to kind of transition into less of the government worries, because we don't know what's going to happen there. So that's just going to be a story that people are going to have to watch develop slowly over however long this investigation takes, since there's nothing concrete at the moment. So what we do know is that Facebook is trying to get away from its the things that have got them in trouble recently, that it's become just too much of a news aggregator of random stories that no one's really sure where it came from. And they want to get back to more of the roots of what the platform was, which is friend to friend, family, more small community that's on the internet. This also includes a plan to try to roll out a cryptocurrency. We'll see. Wall Street's met that with some positivity, but then obviously, once again, regulators are a little concerned about that. And then overall, it's this push into payments and a platform that allows people to shop and spend different money is going to be this long-term goal of Facebook down the line. They're also venturing into virtual reality and augmented reality. So that's where the future of the company lies. Zuckerberg kind of went into a lot of different things about how they want to be a private platform with encrypted messaging and payment options. So I don't want to get into all of these details, but the simplest thing is that they're rolling out different payment options for WhatsApp, WhatsApp for Business. WhatsApp is a big platform that basically allows people, it's very effective in places where people don't have the same phones to you're using, it's calling, texting, just via the internet, basically. So you're just using a Facebook application to call and text in groups, just as you would if you say you had an iPhone and you were just doing iPhone Messenger. And now they're trying to incorporate WhatsApp for Businesses. They noted that WhatsApp is insanely popular in India. It's now has 400 million users in India. And Zuckerberg saying it's a way for people to interact with businesses now going forward, and they're going to try to do this kind of on a bigger scale. This kind of talks to a point of something that's going on, why people in the United States and some European countries are talking about that shift to 5G. There are so many people around the world that still don't even have access to the internet. 3.4 billion is the estimate. So Facebook's trying to get to those users by scaling down some of their applications to what are called not smartphones, but smart feature phones that are much more affordable in places like India and Africa, where the next billion or so smartphone users, internet users are all going to come from. So that's something that Facebook has their eyes on right now, and it could be the next sort of growth business for the company as they try to do this Facebook marketplace, where it's their answer to eBay/Craigslist. They basically want to be the home for where you interact with your friends, you buy things, you're now going to use their payment platform. That's their long-term goal. That might sound scary to some people, but that's where they see it going forward. And even if none of those plans take shape anytime soon, those 2.7 billion users are going to remain way too attractive for advertisers to pass up. That's where they still make about 98% of all of their money at the moment. So in this world where everyone's using Netflix and other non-ad-supported platforms, no matter what Facebook does in the long term of this shift to payments and private messaging and back to their roots of just family and friends platforms, it doesn't really matter if they ever get there for now, because for now it's just they have too much size, which is, I guess, part of the reason why the government is getting involved. But that's what's going on with Facebook. And just to give a little bit of a sense of what's expected to happen next, our current estimates are calling for fiscal 2019 revenues to climb roughly 26%, and that's up to $70.1 billion. And then 2020 is expected to climb 22% above that to around $85 billion. So, as I mentioned, slower top-line growth, but when you're getting to that $85 billion mark, the law of large numbers is just going to make it harder to post that percentage growth that's really eye-popping. And now I want to go on to another company that Facebook actually has a weird relationship, in the sense that they've, I don't want to say stolen, because that's maybe not the technical term of what they've done, but Facebook has taken a lot of what made Snapchat very popular and just copied it and made it available to 2.7 billion people, which Snapchat just doesn't have that scope at the moment. And that's what Facebook's doing with its stories, where people share photos and videos that then disappear after a 24-hour period. And that was the general premise of what Snapchat is still doing. So Snapchat reported a second quarter loss of 6%, 6 cents per share last Tuesday. This was narrower than our estimate that called for a 10-cent loss per share. It was also a narrower loss than the year ago period. And meanwhile, revenues were up 48%. So that's a massive top line growth for this company that had struggled. And then on top of that, the average revenues per user were up over 36% year over year and 14% sequentially. So some solid growth for Snapchat there. And then more importantly, its daily active users hit 203 million in the second quarter. That's up 13 million from 190 million in the first quarter of 2019 alone. So that's some great user growth, which is how all of these companies are going to be growing at the moment, since they're still making so much money from advertising. And as I mentioned, Facebook has taken so much of what Snapchat has done. So it's a little bit harder for this company maybe to grow long term unless they continue to innovate. So I'm not suggesting that Snapchat is going to be continuing to post this 48% revenue growth, but it is a good positive sign to see from this company that had struggled for a very, very long time going into this most recent period. And then long term, it seems like management is tempering their expectations. They're now calling for a modest 2 million to 4 million net new user growth in the third quarter. So down a lot from that big growth this last quarter. And then some competitive platforms that I don't really have much experience with, but since Snapchat is geared towards a much, out of all three of these platforms, Snapchat is definitely reaching the youngest audience. And those audiences can be, I don't want to say fickle, but they can find the next big new thing. And then Snapchat can easily be that uncool platform to use. Some of these examples include TikTok and Marco Polo and whatever the next app 16-year-olds start to use. So Snapchat might not be the company that everyone thought it was going to be long term when it went public a few years back. But if we look ahead to what to expect the rest of the year, the numbers suggest that maybe the growth is going to be there for this company, at least for the relatively longer term next couple of years. So we're calling for over 41% growth in revenue in fiscal 2019 to $1.7 billion, and then an additional 37% growth in fiscal 2020 to get it all the way up to $2.3 billion. So this is the growth that people were expecting when Snapchat went public. And then its bottom line is slowly going to get better and better. We're still calling for a loss per share for fiscal 2020 and 2019. But those earnings estimates have gone up in a big way. So expecting better things on the bottom line than analysts had expected in the recent past. And now we're going to close out with Twitter, which out of the three is definitely running a more unique business in the sense that it's become a platform that's so invaluable to news sources and different ways to just get information out there as quickly as possible. I mean, obviously, whatever your feelings are of different politicians, it's definitely a good way for politicians and other public figures to get their messages out that they don't have to filter through any other news outlet. So they're running a different business model than Facebook and Snapchat. So Twitter's kind of unique in these three big social media companies that it's definitely going to be an invaluable source of ultra quick information for news outlets and everything else under the sun for the foreseeable future. But that user growth just hasn't been there, those eye-popping user growth, and it's kind of not stagnated, but just the user growth hasn't been as big as people would like. But this most recent quarter, which they reported before the opening bell this past Friday, were pretty positive. So on it beat both the top and bottom lines. Then the stock hit a new 52-week high of $42.33 per share. It was up nearly 10% on Friday. This came after revenue grew 18%, advertising revenue was up 21%, and it's what they call a monetizable daily active usage. On average, was up to 139 million in Q2, so up 14%. And then all of this is kind of happening as Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, and the company are trying to rid some of the platform of, that's why they say monetizable user, where they can really verify that this is a person. Twitter had become a place where there was a lot of bot accounts and just stuff that didn't, there was no value to advertisers because they weren't really humans running these accounts that are actually interacting with ads. They were serving no benefit to the platform long term. They see them spending money to what they're calling kind of cleaning up the platform to be really influential long term. They're, what they say, doubling our efforts to address issues that we see affecting the service kind of negatively going forward. And they've seen, obviously, some improvement on what they call improving, quote unquote, the civility of the platform to make it more relevant to people long term. So then looking ahead, we're calling for the full year 2019 to have 16% revenue growth, 22% earnings growth, so some solid numbers there. And then we're expecting an additional 14% revenue growth in fiscal 2020 to get Twitter all the way above the $4 billion mark for the first time. And then the earnings are supposed to not grow at that same clip in 2020, but still some positive growth from 2019. And as I've mentioned before in this program, Twitter is also, like Facebook and some other companies, really trying to benefit on a live streaming video push. It's unclear exactly how successful this is going to be. The company, if some people remember, did have Thursday Night Football rights all the way back in 2016, which somehow seems like forever ago at this point. Then Amazon Prime took over those rights for the last several years. So they have had, they made a big splash into this streaming rights deal a couple years back, and they've continued to make deals with companies like ESPN. This past quarter, they signed new partnerships with the Wall Street Journal, Time Magazine, Univision, to just have different streaming live video, on-demand video access on Twitter. Video ads make the company more money. So this is a service that they're really trying to improve. They have deals with the NFL, ESPN, Bleacher Report, Viacom, Live Nation, Activision Blizzard, just a bunch of different media companies that are reaching different audiences. So the goal for Twitter, along with continuing to grow its user base, is to have live video that's really worthwhile. And as I've mentioned before, in this Netflix age, advertisers are having a harder time reaching consumers. So any company that can offer advertisers a robust user platform, a robust platform with lots of users, and they can prove that people are really watching these live videos, those video ads are going to really make Twitter what would be a more valuable company long term. So if they can prove that people like to actually watch and interact with videos live on Twitter, watch a Major League Soccer game on Twitter, that could be a huge boost for the company long term. But it's a little unclear how big that audience is ever going to be on Twitter. But the whole space is still kind of up on the air of what live sports will eventually look like, and how accepting people are going to be of watching it not on traditional platforms. So we can talk about all of this going forward. And obviously, as I mentioned at the top, there's the worry of government regulation and government stepping in and maybe splitting up Facebook or some of these big companies. But that's all speculation at this point, so I don't want to get any deeper into that. But this is the first episode of where we kind of totally stepped out of our traditional sports focus range. But that's going to be the new plan for the show going forward. We're obviously going to continue to talk about sports-related financial topics and sports-related companies that are publicly traded. But we're also going to now continue, as we have for the last several months, to expand to just more consumer-facing stocks in general. So starting with the social media wave of all these companies reporting over the last week or so. It was a great start to kind of transition to the next era of Full Court Finance. So until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines, and we'll be back next week. So once again, check out all of our other shows on Zacks.com, we'll be here next week.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.